Good evening, everyone, and welcome very much to this and our latest series of seminars with the IWA. We very much hope that you'll find today a useful forum to discuss this major area of public policy within Wales. These seminars are designed to help policymakers at all levels better understand the opportunities that exist in Wales for genuine policy and economic innovation. Tonight's topic is no exception, and we're grateful to the IWA for helping us to assemble such a strong panel and to draw such a broad and engaged audience. Now, this has been a topic in our minds for a debate for some time, and it's certainly an issue which provokes strong opinions. It's a finely balanced debate with strong arguments on both sides, as we shall hear. With the ongoing uncertainty over Brexit, it's never been more important for Wales to be outward-looking, to make links with the wider world, and to have a large and flourishing Welsh diaspora across the globe. But we also have to recognise the economic challenges and skills shortages we face domestically, and the need to have a bright and talented workforce who can help our economic growth. At Cardiff University, where I'm Director for Communications and Marketing, which includes all of student recruitment, we know just how difficult it is, but also how important it is to attract and retain Welsh talent. The last decade has seen a general decrease in the absolute number of Welsh-domiciled new first-degree students choosing to study in Wales. At Cardiff, we've seen fluctuating numbers in recent years, although the last 2 years have seen the number of Welsh-domiciled new first-degree students return to the numbers experienced in 08, 09 and 09, 10. Interestingly, both Cardiff University and the Welsh HE sector as a whole are seeing a rise in Welsh students studying postgraduate taught programmes. The Diamond reforms have undoubtedly been a factor, but my hunch is that there is a general movement which is seeing bright Welsh talent wanting to come home for postgraduate study. Big challenge, of course, is ensuring that there is a vibrant and varied job market for them afterwards. I do hope you enjoy this evening's debate and that you can contribute with your thoughts and questions later, and also during proceedings on Twitter by using the hashtag IWADebate. And please do stay afterwards to discuss the issues raised over a glass of wine. I'd like to thank Evershed Sutherland for their ongoing support in hosting these events, for which we are incredibly grateful. And by way of a plug, we are anticipating that our next debate will be on the 9th of October in central London and will be an opportunity to reflect on 20 years of devolution in Wales, and to debate what the coming years of devolution should look like, so please mark that in your calendars. Our next debate here in Cardiff will be in January next year. Very much details to be confirmed, but any ideas always gratefully received. I shall now hand over to Bethan Lewis, BBC Wales Education and Family Correspondent, who will chair tonight's panel discussion.
Thank you, Claire. Well, first of all, just a reminder of what we're looking at this evening. Brain drain or growing wings, should more be done to ensure Welsh students study in Wales, although it's in big letters above my head there, so it's obvious for everyone to see. So as well as considering that question, should we be encouraging more Welsh students to study in Welsh universities and looking at the role that universities can play in that, the government can play in that. We're also, I'm sure, going to be discussing as well if students do go and study elsewhere, or even if they do study in Wales, what incentives should there be perhaps to draw them back, or what needs to be done to make sure that graduates bring the skills that they have back to Wales, so that students who come from elsewhere to study in Wales maybe stay here as well. I work for the BBC, so I don't have any opinions, but luckily the panellists here do. So let me introduce them very briefly. So here on the right, we have Theo Davis-Lewis, who's in his final year at Oxford University. And Theo set up a network called Darogan, which is aimed at making connections and getting graduates aware of the opportunities for them back in Wales. Here we have Amy Jones, who's a HR consultant working with SMEs, so she's very familiar with the jobs market and the opportunities out there for graduates or not. Here we have Dr. Francis Gerrard, who's a senior lecturer at Cardiff University School of Medicine, and amongst other things is part of the admissions group at the medical school. And on the far left is Iwan Thomas, who is CEO of Planed, that's Pembrokeshire Local Action Network for Enterprise and Development. And before that, he was at the North Wales Economic Ambition Board, where he worked on the growth deal, amongst other things. Welcome to you all and thank you. So first of all, I thought it would be an idea if everyone just very briefly elaborated maybe on their background and addressed the question directly to Theo. Shall we start with you and move around?
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me at the Institute of Welsh Affairs in Cardiff University. It's great to be back in Wales. Doing my finals. I am 21, but I might look 51 after the stress going through the work at the minute. But basically, my story is that I'm from Llanelli originally, Welsh speaker. I was very fortunate to get a scholarship to go to Llanelli College during my secondary education. Then I went up to Oxford as a result of that. And my experience is at Oxford that we've got a very tight-knit Welsh community, like in other universities across the UK and in Wales itself. And what we found is that there is a desire for students from Wales to go back if they've gone over the border. My sort of view on this question is that perhaps the brain drain can be sort of changed into more of a brain train, and making sure that there are connections across both sides, Wales, England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and the rest of the world. It's very important that we're international and outward looking, and I think it's difficult for us to tell maybe an 18-year-old student that, you know, you shouldn't really go elsewhere, you should stay in Wales. I think the freedom of choice is really important, and there are so many great opportunities elsewhere. So I'm on that side, but also very important for us to make sure that we continue to develop those Welsh universities as well.
Okay, thanks, Theo.
Amy Jones. So I studied in England a lot longer ago than you did, in Exeter. Again, quite a big Welsh contingent. And actually, most of us did come back to Wales to work, which is quite unusual, really. My stance on this is kind of on the fence. I think that people should choose to study wherever is offering them the best course and the best education, but I believe in we need to do more to try and attract them back for postgrad studies, but also the jobs in Wales. But I also think we should be attracting students from outside of Wales to come in and bring those skills and actually keep those skills in Wales as well. So I'm kind of on the fence.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm Frances Gerard, and I'm an English woman in Wales arguing for certain subjects that we should do more to encourage Welsh students to apply for them, full stop, and encourage them also to apply to study in Wales. I'm a particular brief. I worked and have worked in rural areas for most of my working life in medicine. Which faces particular challenges, and there is no doubt that encouraging students, both even in from these areas, to consider careers in health service careers, and then perhaps supporting them, we have the data, is likely, if they particularly if they study in Wales, is likely to keep them in Wales or returning to Wales for much of their career.
Thanks, Francis.
Okay, Noswitha, good evening. My name is Ewan Thomas. I'm currently Chief Exec of Planid, based in Pembrokeshire, which is an organisation over 30 years old, working with communities across the county and across the region. But prior to that, as alluded to, I worked in North Wales across the six counties, responsible for the Regional Skills Partnership there. So I was working every day with both HE, FE, schools and employers, looking at how we can signpost those kind of pathways to keep young people within the region in Wales, to show them that a pathway can exist from what they study in Wales to sustainable employment, and the opportunities are there if we work collectively and hard enough. But though I do agree that for some sectors and for some students, we have to treat everyone individually, we can't do a blanket approach, and there is a need for some people to go outside of Wales to gain that extra experience in life, skills and interaction, to bring those skills back and enhance our communities, to make our communities sustainable. And let's face it, young people are our future communities.
Thank you. So first of all, you know, should we be encouraging students to stay in Wales to study? I know you've all made it clear that there's no clear answer to that really, but Theo, do you think that there are benefits for students from leaving Wales?
Leaving Wales?
Yeah.
I think maybe personally I've seen that myself, that I basically just wanted to go away and meet new people, be in a different culture, do a degree, which isn't actually offered much in Wales itself. And I've certainly made connections, developed in confidence as a result of that. I'm not saying I wouldn't have had that in, you know, Aberystwyth or Cardiff, but I think, you know, it's difficult to look at it in terms of a nation perspective. It's an incredibly subjective thing when you go to university. It's not really always about staying within one nation and going to another. It's about going to maybe a Russell group or going to somewhere where there's great student satisfaction. So for me, it was a kind of subjective experience of where I was going to think, well, I thought I was going to benefit. So I definitely can see that I've benefited from going to university elsewhere.
But obviously there are far fewer universities. Well, there's a limited number of universities, yes, in Wales, obviously. So by saying that Welsh students should stay in Wales, are we limiting choices then?
I think that's an arguable proposition. It should be said that we do have a Scottish model that we can look at, where students are not limited to staying in Scotland, but they don't pay their fees. If you're a Scottish student studying in Scotland, there are no fees to be paid. And although they have more institutions than Wales, it's not that many more. I worked out it was about 5 more academic institutions. Population slightly higher, of course. It's about 60% higher than the Welsh population. But their retention within Scotland is huge. I'll give you one example. We have, for us, and the vast bulk of our applicants for medicine are from England. Vast bulk, about 80%+. We have virtually no applicants ever from Scotland, and it's not because they don't want to come to Wales, they won't apply to England either, because faced with the fee differential, it's not a smart choice for most people.
Iwan, what do you think of that idea, the sort of fee incentives, that government should do that sort of thing?
Again, I go back to the point, it depends on what the individual's interest is in terms of their study, what their kind of career progression that we're looking at. And going back to the question, I know, you know, in terms of it, yes, it's an emotive subject, but perhaps it should be rephrased to ensure an increasing number of Welsh students study in Wales. Yeah. And I think what we should always reflect on is that Welsh students are not 18 to 21. If you look at the universities currently in Wales, yeah, Wrexham Glyndŵr often gets a bad rap, but over half of its student population is over 25. It offers people the opportunity who are in employment or wish to kind of reset their career pathway to go back and actually study a degree, study in a higher education, get the experience of a higher education environment and the benefits that offers to them, but also the fact that they may have a family they're responsible for and they may be juggling, you know, kind of other factors as well. So I think for those individuals who wish to return to higher education or maybe going for the first time who are older, I think yes, there could be some incentivization, because my kind of anathema about this whole thing is we talk about getting young people in and in through, you know, universities, but what we often neglect is the current populace between 21 and 65. If you don't upskill them, they don't move upwards and it doesn't create the openings for young people to come in. And I think that's been the problem in Wales to a certain degree, is why people are leaving, because there aren't the opportunities there for them to actually enter the jobs market, because we're not upskilling, perhaps through higher education, through postgraduate opportunities and so forth, that we need to upskill our current labour market to create the right openings to then perhaps attract young people to stay in Wales for certain elements and certain courses.
Where do you stand on this? Let's look at the university thing, yeah, first before we move on to sort of the opportunities for graduates. Yeah. You spoke a bit about this at the start. Do you think there, yeah, are benefits from going beyond Wales, or would you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think socially, I think you should choose where you go to university because that's the best course for you. But I did find a lot of my friends did stay in Wales. They had a very different experience socially because most of them tended to live at home, which I can totally understand why, because of costs. We were all from working class families, so that, and there was no funding. But actually it didn't bother me at the time that I would come out with a big debt, because I chose the study that was best for me. And actually socially, I got to see a lot more and learn a lot more. And I think then going into the jobs market, that in itself sets you apart, especially now. You know, lots of people have degrees. it's not very competitive in terms of that when you're interviewing. And a lot of the time when I'm interviewing with clients, you're looking at that person socially and how they'll fit. It's not what degree they've got or what technical skills, because you can upskill people technically. You can't change somebody's experiences or their behaviours. And that's why I felt it was different. I saw a lot more than I would see in Wales. I met people I probably would never have met if I went to university in Wales. That's how I see it.
Theo, do you think Welsh universities are doing enough to sell themselves to attract Welsh students? Are they offering what?
Well, not just Welsh students. I was in London today on the tube, and there's loads of Swansea University posters on the tube, and you see people sort of see it everywhere. In terms of, you know, I think Swansea, for example, is a top university for student satisfaction. So you do see it, and there's sort of, it's brought out there. I think, you know, for me, I was never in sixth form. I was never sort of told about going to Cardiff personally about all. Because of the capital city, that's where we are. I was never sort of told as that as a viable option, really, for me as a sort of quite an academic person at that age, at 18, which I mean is obviously not good, because you should be told about the opportunities that are there. And I think also that has to do with, you know, Francis mentioned Scotland. I think there is a bit more than the fees that, because Scotland does have things like, you know, St Andrews, Edinburgh. You know, they're usually, if you look at it in terms of the rankings, which we can't judge everything on, they're very high up the rankings. And I would say perhaps many of the audience will disagree with me, we don't have a St Andrews, maybe we don't want one. And, you know, it's not about recreating these universities in Wales, but I suppose people don't have to leave Scotland because they've got absolutely superb, diverse universities, which perhaps we don't have overall in Wales, if I can be slightly controversial. Yeah.
The Seren programme that the Welsh Government has, which sort of encourages students in Wales to apply for top universities, which, you know, Russell Group, Oxford and Cambridge, and maybe to go abroad. Is that helpful, do you think, Frances?
Yes. From our perspective, and obviously we would encourage, and we do work with Seren, but also with various
Cardiff
other
University
groups.
Is obviously one of those.
Cardiff University does. I think it's. There is something, a feeling that, this probably sounds controversial, but it almost mirrors a sort of, that they're there to raise confidence, and that we thoroughly applaud and work with, because one of our big problems with medicine as we go into, and I've been to schools all around Wales and I work with the RCGP, is a lack of confidence, both of the pupils, but I'm afraid also of the teachers. And that is a major handicap. Now, I still have reservations about, well, we must export you, because we're not good enough to deliver in Wales. And that is really the hidden message. And I would also query, and you're right, in their very ancient institutions, which Scotland has, and very venerable, but it is partly it's chicken and egg now, isn't it? Because you stay, because they're a good institution, and you're a good person, and you, as a student, you know, having a very high academic workforce of students studying also improves the university. So I think it can make a difference. So, you know, if we are going to persistently say, well, because you are an excellent student, you must therefore consider that you've got to do better than Wales. Is it sending the right message? I just ask.
I'm not sure what the data is, but is the assumption there that if you study in a Welsh university, you are more likely then to stay? And
I couldn't answer that for anything other than medicine. Mm. And with the medicine, I can really give you better international data. Mm. And because recruitment and retention, and that was one of the things that made me want to come and work at the medical school, recruitment and retention in medicine and in the health services in Wales, as in England, as in many other countries, is an increasing problem. It is also, and obviously I come with a rural perspective, it's a particular problem in rural areas of countries across the world, and that includes most developed countries such as Australia, Canada, the USA. Now, they are well ahead of us in work to try and work with social accountability, that is, recruiting local students and training them in health services so that they serve the local populations. But there is no doubt that that has impacted hugely on their ability to staff and give healthcare services in rural areas. I mean, a particular one that I was visited last year was Northern Ontario School of Medicine. And in Northern Ontario, they could not get doctors and other healthcare workers to staff these amazingly disparate rural communities spread amongst thousands of miles. They opened a medical school, they had a big local recruitment where they encouraged people, and this is very important, they're a bilingual, in fact trilingual community because of Indigenous peoples. They encouraged the people from all their native languages to study, and they have now more or less in parts of Northern Ontario solved their problem of staffing, medical staffing. And I think none of us, and I can speak as the English language person here, none of us actually have also addressed the issue of retaining Welsh language and for work in the areas where perhaps it's very important in Wales and not exporting people completely out, which means we also have to work with Welsh language if we need them to use that for their jobs. So that's really important. So in the medical school, we actually, students now, in certainly with us and I believe in Swansea as well, can do part of their course through the medium of Welsh, because otherwise you disenfranchise people from, they may speak Welsh, but they can't speak medical Welsh. And so that's really quite important.
Amy, in your sector, you deal with SMEs.
Yes.
Are the opportunities there for graduates, whether they have studied in Wales or gone further afield, are there enough opportunities there to attract students?
Well, there's enough opportunities, it's whether it attracts them, unfortunately. I mean, in Wales, a lot of the graduate roles are through funded opportunities, and it's minimum wage, and a lot of graduates don't want that, and I can totally understand why when they came out with a huge debt and expectations sometimes. What I tend to find now is a lot of my clients will recruit older people, because obviously we do have an aging workforce, people are staying in work longer, and you know that's a great thing, but then that does impact opportunities for graduates as well, because if you compare a graduate with somebody who's got all the skills and that they've already acquired that, what would you go for? And a lot of the graduates now that we tend to meet don't have much work experience. That a lot of them have not had part-time jobs, so there's that, again, that social side, that they may know what things technically, they may know, you know, be really skilled, but actually just coming to work and taking direction is just a whole new concept to them. And a lot of my clients have to handhold them. Well, an SME hasn't got the time or the resources to do that. Mm. So it's a really tricky one. It's great that we have funding in Wales, but there's a bit of a double-edged sword to it.
And Ewan, what's your perspective on that in from Southwest Wales?
I think generally, if you look at it, I mean, I agree with Amy in terms of if you've got, you know, as an employer, someone with, you know, the same qualifications as someone else, but they've got more skills because they've been in the workplace longer, it is a tough call. I mean, I'm looking now at recruiting for a number of posts, I'm thinking, do I go with someone's experience or do I go for the graduate? But I think employers are smarter these days because there are certain roles within every organisation where you're looking at succession planning, because as you say, we've got an ageing workforce. I mean, you know, I've been fortunate to work over the last kind of 5-6 years with, you know, the big globals like Airbus in North Wales, where, you know, they've recruited en masse back in the 80s, so 3/4 of their workforce will be retiring in the next 5 to 10 years time. But they have a very strong, proactive graduate program. And I think more and more companies in Wales are starting to look at graduates in terms of succession planning. They know that, I mean, I as an employer know they're not going to be there for X number of years, but I think it's giving them the opportunity, and we can start to foster. And I think you just have, there'll be more of a churn, I think, of graduates within the employment market now than we saw probably 15, 20 years ago, where you, you once went into an organisation and you were there for X number of years. And I think it's good for people to be every 5 years kind of changing roles. And I think for graduates, I think if they can have better access to employers, I think, you know, as Amy said, it's an increasing number we see are almost closeted, and they don't have that benefit of working part-time to understand how the working environment actually is. I mean, I worked from 15, I worked all the way through sixth form university and, you know, carried on. I was working 7 days a week. But it's that drive to pay for another student night out, and great, you know, I can buy a few pints. But it's a life experience as well, which, you know, a couple of us have commented on. So I think what we should be looking at in Wales is to help the kind of brain drain. We should be, I think, seeing our universities have a stronger link with universities and HE. It already exists, granted, but I think we can be more proactive in our higher education sector and actually look at how we kind of upskill our future workforce with the ethos of the workplace.
Theo, with Darog and the people that you work with, is there a problem then that they wouldn't, you know, they don't think there are opportunities there in Wales, or is it just difficult to find?
And I suppose just for anyone in the audience that hasn't heard of Darogan, sort of set up by a few students, Welsh students in Oxford, that, you know, wanting to bring sort of talent back to Wales if they're in UK universities, and connecting them with those employers and that sort of skill set. Because even though there is a mentality, of course, of going on the student nights out, the frustration, I think, from graduates, like you sort of allude to, is that they do want to find themselves in a job, and it's increasingly competitive to do so. I think the problem we've had in Wales is that we haven't shouted enough about the opportunities that we've had. You know, I've been meeting businesses for Darogan because we're having a more formal launch this September, and the idea we come to them with is a digital graduate network, you know, connecting employers and students, and they say, this is great. And, you know, why hasn't this happened before? And it's from businesses and it's from students. So I think from my perspective, I think I was quite shocked that it did take a bunch of students, you know, now, of course, with different support, to actually bring people aware, make people aware of all the opportunities that Ewan's talking about as well.
So whose fault is that it doesn't exist?
Well, I mean, you could easily just, you could blame so many different parties. You could blame institutional issues with Welsh employment or Welsh education, or the fact that London is a huge dominant force in where people go. And it's very likely that I will probably go to London immediately. And that is something that shouldn't be discouraged. You know, we're not saying in Darogan that you have to come here, you have to come back to Wales if you're elsewhere. We're just giving you the option to do it. I think, you know, if you're somebody like me who is a passionate Welsh speaker, loves Wales, loves coming back when I can, I would like to, you know, if I would start a family, have it in Wales, because the standard of living, you know, the job opportunities, they are there. Of course, there's a problem perhaps that they're all in Cardiff in terms of you're thinking of the high-skilled professional positions. But what we need to be talking about now, if you're students, if you're a business, is how do we integrate higher education into those businesses? So that's why I think, you know, changing it, brain drain, yeah, admittedly, we're sending students across the border and they're not coming back. If we have a more sort of fluid sort of system in place, supported by, of course, the government, to make sure that we do have students maybe staying in Welsh universities and staying with Welsh business, or people that have gone to UCL, Durham, Manchester, and then them being able to come back as well. I think we need to sort of broaden the debate itself, I think. Okay.
There may be sort of quite soft measures. Do you think there should be government incentives in terms of writing off loans and things like that?
I think that's a difficult one, because it does seem quite immoral, obviously, to sort of try and, you know, say, oh, well, I think we should be, as Frances is saying, encouraging people to study in the Welsh language. I think that's really important. But then for somebody like me, obviously, I actually benefited from a Welsh government grant. So I actually get a bit of spending money during term time, but also I'm not entirely sure how it all works, but I'm supported a great deal in university compared to my English colleagues. And my sister, when she goes to university next year, won't have that support, I believe, because they changed all the different ranking and so on and so forth. But I think, you know, it's difficult to sort of say to people, or maybe segregate people and say, oh, we're not going to give you the support because you want to go elsewhere. I think that's the message. That's the wrong message if it was to be implied through funding. I know Frances might disagree with me, but of course, if we're encouraging people to stay in Wales and say, we're going to pay for your fees, or we're going to give you this and that if you stay and speak Welsh, I can see why that would work, but then if somebody wants to do that elsewhere, it seems a bit difficult to justify, I think, for that personal experience, the subjective experience of somebody else that wants to go elsewhere, maybe.
Before I turn to Frances, just wanted to ask Amy, what do you think about that idea of writing off, partially writing off loans? I think that was an idea that was, I think Plaid Cymru advocate that, and I think the Diamond Review sort of talked about that, the Diamond Review into student finance a few years ago. Mm. They sort of looked into the possibility of sort of attracting people
I
back.
I felt quite uncomfortable about it. I just think, I don't know, I think the same issues as Theo has said. It just opens so many, it's like a can of worms. I would feel uncomfortable about it. And I think, yes, fees aren't great, but actually now it can encourage students to work harder because they know, actually, do you know what, I'm going to come out with a huge debt, so I'm going to make sure these 3, 4, 5 years, however long they study for, are worth it. I'm going to work hard. And I think if there was a belief that, oh, well, if I come back to work in Wales, whether I like the job or not, they'll wipe off 50% of my fees. I don't know, I just think psychologically, does that then give you that commitment to what you're studying?
Just briefly, I think also as well that politicians have for too long actually used fees as that barrier, and actually there's so much misinformation about fees. Martin Money Lewis has talked about it on Question Time, saying, no, don't call it a debt because it's not that. I'm sure people would disagree or whatever, but I think there is actually, it's really difficult to sort of use that against somebody, or, it's so difficult for us to sort of use fees in a way which would actually disadvantage Welsh students wherever they go. I think that's a really difficult argument to make.
Yeah. Well, I would like to raise a couple of points. One is, so is the evidence borne out by Scotland then, as they don't pay fees in Scotland? I don't think so. And the second thing is that we, of course, at the moment do have a differential system still running between us and England, and we'd be bursary nursing here, but it no longer has a bursary in England. Mm. And it's probably vital that we do, because the nature, I wouldn't necessarily expand this to an overall argument for everything, but I do think in terms of social accountability, we need to look at the essential people we need to staff certain services, such as education, healthcare across Wales, and think, how do we incentivise to keep people here? And to echo your point, nursing is something that frequently people enter at different periods of their lives with great qualifications before and skills, and the bursary system has made a huge difference to people taking up nursing. Now it's a graduate training at different times. Now you have to be.
Can I mention, in terms of a bursary, again, Pembrokeshire is right down the end of the line. We're closer to Ireland than we are to London, so you can imagine the debates we have down there. But again, going back to, I know I'm kind of labouring the point, but in terms of links into employers and the economy, one thing that, since I joined Planet back in October, I was keen, it's an organisation which is kind of, over 30 years in terms of working in communities and working with young people and looking at this kind of retention of communities. And often we see, people going off to university, not coming back. One thing which we've instilled now is to kind of look at, okay, for our kind of geography in West Wales, what are the main economic drivers? As many of you know, Pembrokeshire is a fantastic place to go on holiday. So tourism and hospitality is one of the key drivers of the economy there. And it's looking to move away from the seasonality into a year-round offer. So what we've kind of come up with is the Planet Pembrokeshire Bursary. So we've linked up with Bluestone, who many of you will be aware, employs 800 people in Pembrokeshire, and 80% of those are from Pembrokeshire. So we've teamed up with Bluestone, and for this year, our bursary is focused on students who are wanting to go away to higher education, but to look at tourism, hospitality, and heritage. So that's our prerequisite. You can apply for our bursary as long as you are going into any HE institution in the UK. And part of the kind of application process is, what are you going to do with your studies, but what are you going to give back to Pembrokeshire as a result of your bursary and your studies? And I think that's what we're trying to tease out, is Yeah, if you want to go up to Durham or to any of, you know, the other universities, great. But what are you going to bring back? Whether it's, you know, whether you're on vacation during the summer, or are you going to come back in 5 years' time, exactly like Theo was saying, you know, people who will come back to start families. And certainly from my experience in North Wales over 5.5 years, the number of people who came back in their 30s from the Midlands, from London, from elsewhere, to set up families, because North Wales was a great place to raise a family. And, you know, we had the prospect of Horizon Nuclear with all these fantastic jobs and the impact it had on the supply chains, which unfortunately is contracted. But I think, you know, the bursary model is a good model in terms of for certain sectors to say, go away, but remember, you know, what are you going to bring back to us at some point as a result of being awarded that type of incentive?
Is there a way to broaden that out then in terms of, I don't know, into other sectors? And would the Welsh Government maybe have a role in that? Is that something the government should be doing, or is it?
I think Welsh Government does a lot, because I know Professor Hugh Morris is in the room, so I have to say that. But I think they could do more. I think we need to get rid of bureaucracy. I think we need to be more flexible. I don't think we need to be as prescriptive. And I think let the regions and the people within the regions drive it. And I think government should respond. At the moment, there is a perception by some that, you know, we in regions have to respond to what Welsh Government does. And particularly, you know, in Pembrokeshire, the appetite is, what's Cardiff telling us now? They don't know who we are. So I think there is a role for government, absolutely, because they are where they are, because who they are. But I think they need to listen more. The diversity across Wales is as such that, yes, we are one nation, but it's a multicultural, it's a multi-layered, you know, multi-geography, and you cannot have one size fits all.
How much is it about selling sort of lifestyle and the softer side of it as well? Because I know in some sectors they have campaigns where you show, you know, the beach, or, you know, it's great working and living in this part of Wales or whatever. Is that part of it?
I think it is certainly for us, and for one of the things we've started this year is a longitudinal integrated clerkship, which is something that's been done in Australia for many years now, and in Canada and the United States in various rural areas, where we started it this in the autumn, where some of our third years are spending a whole year in Aberystwyth or Bangor, based there and actually working around the area. And certainly, if you sell the lifestyle, they don't want to come back. It's quite easy. They do not want to come back. We've got a hub we're working in partnership with Bangor University, and we'll be starting a medical school hub in Bangor, so students will go there for 4 years of their course, which could be the whole course if they're graduates. And we have the strong feeling that once people are there, and we know this has happened from other countries, that people are there and are settled, they very much tend to want to stay more local. So I think there is evidence for it.
And in terms of graduates these days, how important is it that, you know, there's on social media or whatever, you have a positive image of working in a certain sector?
Yes. Mm. Totally different to what it used to be. They really look into the companies. Ethically is a big, which I think is great, actually, especially in the SME world, which can still be quite archaic. But they want to work for a good employer, and I think that's great. You know, I encourage my clients to give people the opportunity to see what a good employer is like. And like you said, you don't expect them to stay with you now past 2 years, but actually, if you can give them everything you can in that 2 years, it's kind of like having a child. And when they leave, it's like seeing them, you know, flee the nest kind of thing. And they're proud of them because they take them under their wing. So you have got to be a good employer. There's graduates will turn people down. In fact, I was talking to a local recruiter this morning of a person who's been liaising with somebody to get this new job. And actually, at the last minute, they decided, you know what, this company just isn't right for me. It doesn't sit right with me ethically. And they gave them the hours they wanted. They gave them the financial package they wanted. It was in the industry they wanted. So any normal person might think, that's crazy. Why are they turning it down? And it was because of the ethicalness of the company. They just didn't feel like it was the right fit for them. So they you do look at that much more now, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing, because we want those to take that forward. So if they set up companies or if they become managers, they're good managers, they're good people managers. You know, you encourage people, you're not just a number. It's so important.
So can you just explain a bit more about with Darragh and how exactly you make those connections? How do you get the in touch with the graduates, and how do you connect with the employers or whoever else?
Yeah, so we're actually working on the Darragh model now, actually, and speaking to businesses about what they want and speaking to students about what they want from something. You know, you can use things like LinkedIn and, you know, compare that as a network that connects people with different you know, professionals in different fields. I think for a student perspective, what we're working on for later this year is actually having direct contact with businesses and actually being able to know, you know, who do I need to speak to in a company in Cardiff? You know, how do I search them in? Who's the graduate recruiter there? What are the skills they're looking for? And, you know, the other side of it is with people, you know, that are in businesses that are looking for graduates, what, you know, stands out, I think it's the sort of the work experience, the social side, that you don't normally get on an application form. It's a kind of something that we want to bring out from scratch. I think also as well, if we look at what we're trying to do, we're actually making sure that people know about different opportunities in Wales, not simply job opportunities. So, you know, the Work of Business Wales, how to start up their own business. You know, there needs to be, you know, putting them in touch with people like Planet, because I don't think, you know, if you've got a, I don't know, an undergraduate in Exeter wanting, has a great idea, but doesn't know who to speak to, we'd hope to be the service that could maybe send, you know, send an email, make an introduction that would facilitate that.
Okay. So just to go back to, before we go to the floor, just to go back to the question about actually studying in Wales, we could just go around to everyone again about that. Ewan, would it make your life easier, do you think, if more Welsh students studied in Wales, if more Welsh students stayed within Wales? Would that make it easier to develop Pembrokeshire?
I think, again, I go back, it depends on what the theme or the sector or the subject was. And I think it depends on, you know, future-proofing our Welsh economy, our local economy, our regions, in terms of what we actually need. So I would encourage some students, yeah, go away, get all that experience across the border or internationally as well. But I think there are certain things where, yeah, we would benefit. And again, go back to the Welsh language element. Certainly from my time in North Wales, if you look at the biggest employers in North Wales, particularly North West Wales, it's the public sector. And, you know, having worked there, I know that Cyngor Gwynedd and this Mourne Council, they work through the medium of Welsh. You know, there is little English at all. So again, where you've got people going in who have been graduates in terms of engineering, in terms of, you know, law, finance, they're going in to those kind of public sector bodies because they have studied in places like Bangor, Aberystwyth, studied through the medium of Welsh, and they have a large professional organisation within which they can continue their evolving career pathway, but through the medium of choice. So I think, yes, for some students, we want to keep them in Wales because it affords them the opportunity to do what they want. But I think for other certain sectors, and again, for future-proofing Wales, we need to look at what sectors, what jobs and what skills would benefit from that external environment in which they can grow in a different way and bring it back at the appropriate time.
Francis, do you take a sort of more blanket approach in that?
No, I don't, but I think it's the two things. One is you are, I mean, if you want doctors to communicate with patients through the medium of Welsh, they are better off taught some of their medicine through the medium of Welsh, and I find it hard to believe that many English universities will undertake this. The second thing is that we have a lot of data that shows, and you know, I'm looking at from the top end down, it's recruitment, retention, big problem, but recruitment as well across medical specialties. There's no doubt that if you train in Wales, you're more likely to stay. And whether you're English or Welsh, but more if you're Welsh, and that when you lose people out for medical degrees, remember you're losing them out for 5 years, 6 years. Often they apply for the local foundation program, which is now 2 years, that's immediate postgraduate training. So you've lost someone for 7 years at an interesting point in their life. If you lose them for 7 years, then some will come back, but it's a long chunk somewhere else.
So Amy, just briefly, would it be preferable, do you think, for more people to study in Wales?
I'm still as I was. I think we should just be encouraging people to come back to Wales, postgraduates, and bring those skills that they've learned, whether that's other parts of Wales or the UK or, as you say, international, and bring them back. You know, I think what you're doing is fantastic, because there still isn't that much communication out there. We've got so much to offer. You know, even from the SME world, there are so many opportunities and people just don't know about it. So they'll just go to what they know, and you know, the companies that have the big PR, that sell the big new graduate jobs. But we can offer so much to English and Welsh students, you know, especially in East Wales. We're literally just over the bridge. So if people really want to live in England, they can just commute over, especially now the tolls are gone. So I think we should be attracting all talent into Wales.
And Theo, I think you made your point quite clear. You think there are positive benefits.
Yeah, and I see, for example, Francis's argument that in the medical profession, you know, it's really important that we retain those skills. If they've got, you know, Welsh language skills in particular, you know, don't argue against that at all. I suppose if there are elements of brain drain happening, you know, how do we reverse that, essentially? How do we make that a positive contribution to Wales? How do we make sure they give back if they go elsewhere? And I think, you know, just from my perspective as a student, yes, you know, in my individual experience, I've benefited from going over to a university in England. But there is obviously a gap there for me to contribute back to Wales, because I want to. Some people might never want to come back to Wales. They might want to live anywhere in the world. But I think the key to this, if there is some sort of brain drain that's happening, how do we make sure that Wales still gets something out of that if we can? And what we can do, and what, you know, most people in this room can do, because they're a bit older than me, is actually make sure you tell Wales, tell people about Wales, tell the world about Wales, and bring students back to jobs that are there across the country.
Okay. Any questions then? If you could keep them quite brief, please. Arlene?
There's a roving mic just coming.
Okay. Sorry.
I've never been told I needed a mic, but anyway. It was interesting that, but it was right at the end, you started talking about international. And from my perspective, one of the things that holds us back in Wales is that so much, particularly our SME business, is very local. And yet if we're really going to push forward, we have to have an international dimension. So I would actually go as far as saying that I would like to see more Welsh students going and studying overseas. And I suspect that the likelihood of them coming back to Wales will be greater as well. Because it really worries me that we're just saying we should be in Wales, because exactly as some of you have said, it's that exposure, it's that life experience, and being able to work in a global environment is so critical these days. Now, Francis, I totally accept that medicine is different and the education in medicine is different, and Scotland is very different. It's got a 4-year degree for an undergraduate, for example. So it's a far more complex environment up there. But yeah, I would hate us to lose the international aspect to this.
Does anybody want to come back on that?
I think that's quite an interesting point, because the only thing that I'd be worried about simply is that people don't know about those international opportunities. I know that the Serenet would probably work, I think, with Yale and Harvard actually in America. But I was, you know, if I wasn't, I wouldn't be interested in going else outside of the UK for university, but I wouldn't know how to even approach that. And I think that probably comes from secondary school education, actually. And if there's, you know, government initiatives or organisations that go in and say you can go to Hong Kong or, you know, Singapore or whatever.
But it's a mental attitude as well, because even today, to get students in the UK, not just Wales, to go and do part of their degree overseas is really challenging, and it's something that I think we've got a real opportunity to do here. And you look at America, the links that Wales has with some of the states in America, and in fact America's an interesting one about the funding as well, because their funding system tends to keep them in their own states, which I think adds to problems. But you know, just to start by getting exchanges, I think it's a massive opportunity that we have in Wales.
Amy, do you you know, is that something that would be attractive
to employers? I just think it's just not promoted. It's just not something students think of, to be honest. But I think it's fantastic. I mean, a lot of the SMEs I deal with do export, so actually they need that international experience, but you just don't get it. Or even the slightly bigger companies, some of them are European owned, so you're dealing with European based businesses, and we just don't have the experience of people dealing with that. So I completely agree with you.
Can I just add, in terms of, I think there's been long-standing examples of international, you know, exchange, but I don't think it's promoted. I mean, I'm a Carmarthen boy, and obviously in Carmarthen we've got what is now University of Wales Trinity St David. It was just Trinity College when I was kind of growing up in Carmarthen. But every year we would see around the town a huge tranche of American students. Students used to go back over and they exchanged, because friends of mine who went to Trinity at the time, they spent about 3 months over there as part of their three-year kind of degree program. And I know that a lot of them have kept those relationships going, and they've gone back out on numerous occasions to kind of continue to learn. One of them did a postgraduate out in Wyoming. And it's just from somewhere in Carmarthen.
Next question.
I'm Hugh Morris. I should confess I work for Welsh Government. So before I ask a question, just a couple of bits of information. The first is that we reviewed the student finance and funding regime between 2014 and 16, and we did that with the Scottish Vice-Chancellor, Sir Ian Diamond, and a panel that included a number of people from Scotland, people from each of the political parties in Wales, and lots of experts. And most importantly, lots of students, and what they all said was that they wanted help with their living costs rather than fee remission. So I think that the package that's been developed has been built on that insight. The second thing I'd say is that we do already incentivise study for people to study in Wales, and we do that through four or five different mechanisms. So we have a degree apprenticeship scheme, which requires an employer to provide a job, and then students study for a degree. We focus on the areas where employers say they can't get the provision that they want. So that's in engineering, ICT, construction. We'd like to do the same in health. We have, as Francis has mentioned, nursing bursaries. Yeah. We have a very successful part-time grants and fees system recently introduced. We've seen a 50% uptake in the number of students who want to do that, the mature students that Ewan mentioned. And we're looking to introduce postgraduate fees and loans and maintenance grants, and again we'll prioritise certain subjects, areas where we believe they'll make a significant contribution to the Welsh economy. Now, having said that, I have a personal worry. I'm not supposed to have personal worries as a civil servant, but I do. And my personal worry is the thing that Francis alluded to, which is that there is a impending massive shortage of health and medical staff across the UK, and that's largely because many in England leave and go and work overseas once they've graduated because they don't like working in England. And what worries me is that we're not planning for that future. Mm. And particularly what worries me is when I look at the pattern of student recruitment by university in Wales, I don't see big changes. There's been a big increase in bioscience student numbers, but most of the other changes have been declines in business studies, declines in arts and creative subjects. But I've not seen the big expansion in the areas where there is increasing student demand. Now, maybe I'm not looking in the right places, but a big part of SERN is about preparing people for those areas, particularly in health and medical areas where the universities run selective tests, which the schools don't prepare them for. So my question, sorry it took a long time, is are the universities focusing on areas of increased demand?
Do you want to answer that? That's not on behalf of all universities, obviously.
In terms of medical school numbers, you will have the numbers as you're funding us through SIFT better than I do, but basically undergraduate numbers, as you know, in medicine are now standing at over 300 for Cardiff. We've got an extra 20 this year, and Swansea has got a graduate medical school that's been up and running successfully for a number of years now, and that's got an extra 20 students as well, so I think they're going up to over 90 a year. So we've got quite a lot of students. Retention, I think, is a very good point, and what we have, and this is more complex, there's not really a subject here, but is multifactorial, but something like 40 to 60% of qualified doctors after F2 take a break, and they normally take it to Australia or other places. And there are no complicated reasons, but they're not actually much to do with undergraduate training, and probably more to do with a thing called MMC, Modernising Medical Careers, that came in. Plus, perhaps a bit of, there's a lot of NHS knocking, and it doesn't help. But so I think that's very complicated. In terms of, are we doing more to recruit? Well, you've got the Welsh Government's got the data. So as you know, we now have 10% of our applicants are from Wales, and last year 31% of our entrants were from Wales, and we anticipate it's going to be higher this year. At the moment, Swansea, my colleagues in Swansea are taking graduates, are hoping for 50% this year.
As you're here, I wonder if I could ask you a quick question, just about what we mentioned earlier about in the Diamond Review, as you mentioned it, there was it said the Welsh Government should look at incentivising graduates to stay or return to Wales through part writing off a loan. Is that something that the Welsh Government has looked at?
We have a scheme that provides for the writing off of loans, and that remains. In terms of specific areas, there are proposals that are being worked through particularly, but I don't know if Dewi, do you want to say anything about this?
So it's actually done through the Funding Council. So we're providing specified grants to encourage students to either progress to postgraduate study in Wales or to come home to Wales in areas aligned to the Economic Action Plan, so cybersecurity, medicine, and digital skills. So you'll have extra grants on top of your maintenance grants if you're a Welsh student studying in a Welsh university.
That's postgraduate, did you say? So not for undergraduates to...
We get that anyway.
No, there was something about incentivising... Other questions? The back there.
I'm not sure. Hiya.
Hi.
My name is Maimuna. I was born and bred in Wales. I live literally down the road. I am a graduate. I've completed both my undergrad and master's in Cardiff Met. I'm sitting here and I really can't relate to this topic. When I saw the title, it really did draw me to it. But I wonder, when you say Welsh students, who are we talking about? Because as a black and minority ethnic female Welsh student, I'm not too sure. Do you mean white Welsh students? Because is that supposed to be in the title? I'm really unsure because I can't relate to any of these conversations. For me, as a graduate, being Muslim and black, I've had to work in call centres after call centres because my name is foreign and because I look a certain way and unconscious bias I face and discrimination. None of that is being discussed. You know, we look around the room and, like I said, down the road is 10% black and minority ethnic. Is this something that shouldn't be on the agenda? There's vast amounts of research out there that say that people with foreign sounding names have to send 60% more applications, graduates, particularly black graduates, than white sounding names, you know. And I'm not too sure your name on the end, but which markets are you tapping into? Which students are you speaking to? How many black and minority ethnic people are you engaging with, or are they hard to reach? Because I would most likely leave Wales because of the issues I've discussed, but not something that's been touched upon by an all white panel who are middle. I feel very middle class in this room. I feel really out of touch. And is it the elephant in the room, but the elephant needs to be known, because I was born and bred in Wales, but I can't get a graduate job because of issues that nobody wants to discuss. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Do you think
that's a particular issue in Wales, or is something that people would encounter elsewhere as well?
I'm not too sure. I don't think it's directly unique to Wales, but I can only talk about Wales because it's where I was born and bred and experienced university. There's a huge issue with structural and institutional racism that nobody's talking about, the rising in hate crime, and all this sort of stuff, and many factors that can't play into this conversation. And graduates, like I said, even within we're leaving Wales. When I say we, I mean a lot of people I know who look like me and dress like me, because we're too foreign to be Welsh, we're told, and we can't get the jobs that we deserve. Having a master's and working in a call centre is not something I've aspired to do. But yeah, I have to work that much harder than my white counterparts who are graduates, which is really unfair. So are we on an equal playing field here? But, you know, to have a panel like this, I think really and truly we need much more diversity to discuss these issues.
I'm sure there'll be opportunities to do that in different fora. Theo, can you just explain how yeah. you sort of connect with people?
You're right. I think if you look at Britain overall, not just Wales, there are institutions, or our institutions have been structurally racist in the past. I studied at Oxford. You know, there's been so much controversy there. Yeah, I'm a white male at Oxford. You know, not that diverse really. But I completely acknowledge that, you know, your experience needs to be heard, and it actually, you know, we need to listen to your experience. And for us, just on your question about Darogan, you know, what is modern Wales? Modern Wales, people like you, people like me, everyone is included in that. That's what I think we all alluded to, was, you know, an internationalist outlook. Mm-hmm. People who are born and bred in Wales, people who have come back to Wales, you know, these are all things, you know, I study anthropology, and, you know, these are all things about, you know, nation states and what are they? For me, I think on a practical level, we want to make sure that we do have a diverse workforce, because everyone has skills to offer. It's not just white males like me are going to be in the workplace, because I think we're getting tired of them now, to be honest with you. We've got a diverse set of skills, diverse set of young people who can offer that. And I think, you know, hopefully in a future panel, you can be sitting here instead of me as well.
Next question. Thank you.
Sorry. My name is Betty Williams, and until my retirement, I was director of IT Wales, working out of the computer science department at Swansea University. We're talking about the brain drain. We were worried about this in 1993. We worked out that if you looked at all the graduates that left Welsh universities every year, that very few of them were actually staying in Wales. So we started a program whereby we encourage the students studying computer science, as it happens, to Welsh students or English students, wherever they came from, as long as they were studying computer science. I talked to them and asked them what they wanted to do. And the majority of them would want to stay in Gower. They all wanted to go surfing down the Gower. And they all wanted, they liked the laid-back lifestyle at Swansea. But the perception was there was no jobs for them. So they were certainly going to go away. But we started a program whereby we introduced these students to small companies at undergraduate level. So they went to work for the companies during the summer holidays. They sometimes went to work for the same company the following summer holiday. And a lot of them actually stayed in Wales. They stayed and had jobs with the companies they worked for. That turned out to become ReProsper Wales. We did it as a pilot in 93-94, and in 95 it went across Wales for all subjects. And the result of that was that, according to the Cymru Prosper Wales final report, 63% of the students had stayed with their company for at least 2 years. And it's all fizzled out. And we're still talking about the same thing we were worried about in 1993. Can we think about doing something to introduce them to small companies at an earlier level again? Is that something we could talk about?
Amy, do you think that would
happen? Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I know locally that University of South Wales and Cardiff in certain business schools do offer third year students out for project times, but not many companies know about it. And I think it's quite specific usually the industry that they do it in. I think it should be for all, again, so they can get those social skills and that work experience. And any company that I've worked with that has taken on these undergrads whilst they're in uni has usually offered them a job after.
It did go around Wales. They had a hub in every university in Wales, And it was, honestly, it was hugely successful.
I think that's the biggest issue now with education, is there is still this massive disconnect with business. It's too focused on the academic side. You need people to actually be in business. I could be the greatest academic in the world, but I might not be able to actually work in a business.
A side shoot of this was that when they worked with the small companies, they actually developed their final year projects with these small companies.
Yeah.
And that was a huge benefit for the companies as well.
Well, that's the thing.
An extra... and we won loads of WDA technology prizes for that. But that's another thing.
Can I just add to that in terms of, you know, example, to take it out of South Wales for a moment? Bangor University, back in 2013, when I started work there, we realised that they had 60 IT graduates coming out every year of the university in Bangor. Most of them were then going off to Liverpool and Media City in Salford. So again, we were losing that kind of, you know, populace out. We discovered that within a 10-mile radius of Park Menai, which is a business park on the outskirts of Bangor, there are 40 IT companies around that particular geography. So again, working with both FE and HE within the region and coming together and looking at what employers wanted, what the students were looking to gain in terms of skills, we set up a program, you know, very informal. It wasn't a formalized thing at all, but those students were actually going in during Easter recess, during the summer, gaining that work experience within the workplace, and then almost trying out that employer to see, well, did that employer meet their kind of expectations, the ethics, their career aspirations? And there was a really good success rate. And that relationship, thankfully, has grown and continued to this day, because North Wales often gets kind of like, oh, there's not much happening there. There is a lot happening in North Wales, and particularly around IT, it's evolving. If you look at some of the kind of creative industries around, you know, Welsh language television and media, you know, you've got Barked and all these other places in North Wales. They need those creative skills, and I think we need to look at all of Wales when we're looking at, you know, certain kind of sectors, which can often be ghettoised in some respects as South Wales.
But I think generally as well, if you go outside of Wales, people think that about Wales, that we don't have much. Yeah. You know, even as a consultant now, most of my clients are in Wales. I do go over the bridge. I have clients over there, and they don't realise what is in Wales. It's still quite an archaic view of it. Yeah. We really need to sell the business that we've got. When you talk to people about what is actually in the Wales and the business opportunities, they're quite shocked. And I think, oh my God, you know, how can you think like that still?
Is this the view from
England?
From England. So do you think employers here undersell themselves as well? Does that sort of mindset?
I think because we're predominantly SME, that they just don't have the resources. So I think there needs to be something else, whether it's higher education, government. We really need to sell what we can offer people. So yes, okay, our students will go across the bridge, but then they're not just seeing what the big London companies and the milk rounds can offer them. They're saying, actually, do you know what? I can go back home because I know that there's all this there as well. But even businesses in England just don't see what is in Wales.
Yeah.
It's quite scary.
It's critical. And if anyone wants to Google on YouTube a thing called Opportunity North Wales, it was a film which, it's a 3-minute promotional film, which shows the diversity, the skills, the opportunities. And it starts off, you know, with people kind of swimming in a lake in Snowdonia with underwater cameras. They're there kind of then, you know, out on the Menai Straits there. It's a coffee culture, you know, all of these type of things. And then it says, you know, the thing we've got in North Wales are skills, and we've then worked with businesses. And, you know, one of the final shots is the Airbus Beluga taking off. That's in North Wales. And it shows that, you know, as a country, we've got fantastic opportunities here. And, you know, we've got to be less parochial. And I think we've got to be more about what we can sell. And the diversity, going back to the previous lady's comment as well, we're not all just white middle class. We are, Wales is your Welsh, period.
Sorry, what was it called?
Opportunity North Wales.
Sorry, the lady at the back has had her hand up for a while there.
Hiya. So my question leads on from my Muna's to my right. I think Amy asked if these issues relating to institutional racism were particularly pertinent to Wales. Cardiff is 20% black and minority ethnic, second fastest growing city in the United Kingdom after London. Approximately 50% of Wales's population lives within the Greater Cardiff Metropolitan Area. despite this, there are really high poverty levels for black and minority ethnic Welsh people. There's never been a black and minority ethnic Welsh woman elected to the Senedd. And despite the fact that one in five people in Cardiff is black is BME, you don't necessarily see that reflected in the public institutions of Welsh life. You are more likely to get a callback if your name is Adam than if your name's Mohammed. Wales is also 4% white. No, sorry, 4% BME and 96% white. So I do think that now is a particularly critical crunch point for the implementation of good practice for black and minority ethnic Welsh people, some of whom are eighth or ninth generation, and maybe perhaps more quantifiably, how can I put this? Welsh in ways that we don't necessarily appreciate or understand just yet. You said that there, so my question is basically, what can we do to make sure that black and minority ethnic students study in Wales? And why don't we talk about race in Wales, in your opinion? Because I'm not necessarily sure that I understood your responses to my friend's question on the BME unemployment rate, because 80% of Welsh Pakistani women are unemployed, according to Chwarae Teg statistics. And I believe if this level of unemployment and structural discrimination was affecting other groups, we would do something about it. Diolch yn fawr iawn.
Thanks. To answer the point then about to encouraging more BME students to stay in Wales, in terms of admissions and how you approach it in the medical school, is there enough diversity in terms of applications and in terms of outreach to encourage that?
In terms of our figures at the moment, black and ethnic minority, we're somewhere between 17 and 20% of our students. No, Welsh domiciled and English domiciled. We do have a small quota of international, that is a set quota, and that's really important. The other thing is that we are specifically, and I'm sure plenty of other people, but I can only speak from what I know. We go out proactively into particularly schools locally, it should be said, like Grangetown. We are very aware that, and something for our medical school, we're very aware that for students, particularly female students from some cultural backgrounds, there is a need to study locally, and we are trying very hard to encourage people to apply to us. Medicine probably has been more, had more diversity. Now, what I'm not going to say is at senior levels, because trust me, at senior levels, certainly a few years ago, it was very much the provenance of the white man. But things have changed a lot, and there is a lot more diversity of people going through medicine. And certainly amongst my colleagues, there is, you know, a mixture of people from all backgrounds.
What about, sorry. So even if there are black and minority ethnic students who are coming through because of initiatives in lower economic areas, such as Grangetown, which is Wales's most racially diverse ward, what does this mean when the black and minority, when the black African, black Caribbean student at Cardiff is so pronounced compared to other Russell Group universities, given the implications and impacts of anaphylaxis in medical school?
Cardiff is, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in terms, sorry, I missed a bit of that, sorry.
Can you just wait for the mic, please, and just wait for the mic and come back, so we can all hear?
While initiatives in lower, in racially diverse, lower socioeconomic areas, such as Grangetown, do more for getting people of colour in through the door, what does this mean when the black attainment gap at Cardiff for African students, for international students, for Welsh African students, black Welsh students and black British students, along with members of the Caribbean diaspora. What does it mean when that gap is so pronounced at Cardiff University? Because when Cardiff University publishes those statistics, they amalgamate them into black and minority ethnic students. However, the only thing that I've got in common with someone who's, say, Somali, Kenyan, is the fact that on paper, I'm not perceived as having a Welsh background. I can't help but feel that we're better seen and not heard, and I was wondering what your thoughts on this might be, given the sort of disparity in racial representation in public life as well.
I'm not sure Francis has could answer on behalf of
Cardiff University. And obviously medicine, in terms of attainment, obviously virtually everyone graduates and it's a pass-fail degree. I'm
what
afraid.
About the implications of anaphylaxis?
In terms of, at the time, obviously it was a very complicated thing, as you're well aware, involving lots of, and that has been, I hope, thoroughly investigated, and it has made substantial changes in practice and culture throughout the medical school.
Okay, thank
Let's
you.
Take another question then. Thank you. The gentleman here.
This might sound quite naive, and I've got no idea who the question is for. When reading the question, which inspired me to come tonight, my response in my head was, why? Now, I'm not trying to be impertinent, and I'm genuinely a positive guy, but I want to understand why. Why a massive effort do we perceive that we should be investing time, thought, resource, energy, money, whatever it might end up being, to ensure Welsh students study in Wales? I don't understand the objective.
Anyone want to take that, Iwan?
I think it goes back to what we've discussed before. It's about choice. There are those students who will want to go away from their family, from their current kind of, you know, cohort, and actually learn life experience. I think that's a good thing. But I don't think we should be pushing everyone over the border. I think we should give people choice. And those who want to stay in Wales, and, you know, plenty of Welsh students, particularly from West Wales, will go down the M4 corridor down to Cardiff. Why would we want to stop that? Because, again, it's about looking at Wales, its multi-diversity, and to promote that and say, well, if people want to study in Wales, well, yes, let's look at mechanisms by which we can support them to do that. But at the same time, going back to as we discussed before, for those kind of subjects, sectors or areas which do require broader skills, potentially, or different sets of skills, well, yes, let's tell them to go over the bridge, or let's go internationally and see what they can bring back at a later stage.
Yeah, I won't interrupt again, I do apologise. I think my point is about what should be done more to ensure people study in Wales. To me, is now I get that, I can get my head around that, and I'm up for the fight and making that happen. But you talked about some students want to go down from North Wales and study in Cardiff, but the way you framed that was they'd already made their decision. So yes, we need to make sure that can happen. But this is about persuading people not to leave Wales, the way this question's framed. And that's what I don't understand is a why. A modern Wales is international, and I can see why. Why can't we get more people to come into Wales?
Yeah.
And so on.
But I suppose there's a question there about whether the Welsh Government and the taxpayer should be supporting Welsh students financially, if they're not going to get anything back from it either. I suppose there's a debate that if you're going to provide loans and a bit of support towards maintenance grants or whatever, should society in Wales be getting something back from that?
Yeah, I think if I can maybe interject on that point, is that we talked about Scotland and the model there and the different universities there. I think we're not trying to replicate what the success is elsewhere and, you know, how we can build on what we've done already. I think it's about also probably the universities in Wales and working with the government to sort of show themselves and other people why you would go to Cardiff over Swansea, or why you'd go to Aberystwyth over Wrexham. You know, what is the individual identity of these universities? What can they offer you? And I suppose the broader sort of point about your question and why is the sense of what can we offer people generally, internationally, going back to the lady's point at the frontier. We need to tell people about Wales. We need to tell graduates, undergraduates about Wales more. I don't think we do it. It's very easy to blame the government, but we need to have a very collaborative approach, which not only talks about those universities and the opportunities of coming back, but also creates that network which integrates them all together. Otherwise, there'll be continuous loopholes in the future as well.
Audio.
Rob, is this one turned on? Very quick response to that, Dan, is the title worked, getting people in the room. So I'll pick up on that in a minute. So I just wanted to say it was our choice with Cardiff University, not these guys, okay? So I just want to put that out there. I'm going to pass the mic here.
Okay, lazy there.
Yeah, a couple of points, really. I studied in the business school at the University of Exeter, and firstly, I don't think this is a problem that's unique to Wales. I found from studying at Exeter that there were a lot of people that wanted to stay around but didn't have the opportunities there either, so I don't think we need to limit it to a discussion about Wales. Secondly, the impression I got from talks about graduate jobs was that the ones we heard from were the ones that put the money into it. So working at a business school, the ones we heard were from Deloitte, Mars, KPMG, PwC. We didn't hear anything about, you know, small SMEs or local enterprises at all. My third point, I guess my question here, is we've already discussed kind of the culture that people don't expect a job for life anymore. We expect to have a job for a couple of years. It's a stepping stone onto the next stage in our career. So how do we compete in Wales with the Times top 100 graduate employers? How do we offer those opportunities as a stepping stone for kind of long-term progression, rather than offering just a job for life, which realistically isn't what everyone is looking for anymore?
I was just going to say, just briefly on your second point as well, there are those businesses that are actually operating in Wales. So you've got PwC, Deloitte. There are those big companies as well that have sort of stations in Wales and whatever schemes they have. But I think the important point is that those companies aren't advertising those Welsh jobs, perhaps, because I think somebody alluded to the fact that there was like this archaic view of Wales. Yeah. And I think, as a student in an English university, I mean, people can be quite rude about Wales. And I honestly haven't, when you go to careers fairs, nobody talks about, there's no Welsh companies there usually. And of course, that includes SMEs, but also includes businesses that are, trying to, that have positions in Wales but don't actually advertise them. So I think, for example, somewhere like Exeter, that would be a fantastic location to actually source Welsh students that are perhaps wanting to go home as well. But it's a matter of actually telling them that, because of the lifestyle, because of the salary, you can still go back to Wales. And, it's probably the company's responsibility as well. So I suppose, just from my perspective, what I'm trying to do with a few students now is actually convince those companies as well to make sure that they know that they can take students to Wales and they want to work there as well.
I think it's also up to the universities to engage in their postgrads, because I haven't done it for a while since I've had children, but I mentored Exeter University students in their third year, mostly remotely, about how to get into the jobs market and what HR is actually like when you go to work in it. And as you say, they all knew about the milk round companies, but I would talk to them about what they actually looked for. And I would say, and they weren't just Welsh students, they were just British. And I said, well, look at your local councils, look at local businesses. They may be able to give you far more opportunities to learn. You don't have to go through these stressful interview processes. So again, they didn't hear about that, but as somebody who'd been to university, who'd gone out to work, done the whole job thing, you could give them that perspective that they don't get from the careers services. The careers services do tend to concentrate on the big companies. So I do think it's engaging your postgrads as well to mentor the students. I think that's really important.
Can I just pick up on the Times 100 comment? I think, again, we undersell ourselves in Wales. If you look at the Times 100, one of the top 10 companies in the Times 100 is in Wrexham. And that's a company called Moneypenny, which started as a kitchen table between a brother and sister 10 years ago. And if you now go to the headquarters, it is the Google of the UK. It is absolutely amazing. They have a three-story building, there's a tree house, there's a restaurant, there's a bar, and they do so much in terms of then their subsidiary, the Moneypenny Foundation, where they support older students to actually go to Wrexham Glyndwr University and do degrees. So I think sometimes let's not always be stuck in the Cardiff bubble because we see PwC and Deloitte and Eversheds here. Let's look at the rest of Wales because there's plenty out there.
Frances, a quick word from you just to finish off here because we have run out of time. Are we underselling ourselves? I know you're speaking from a university.
Actually, yes, specific. I do think we undersell ourselves. I think Wales is a fantastic country. I think we undersell ourselves generally. And I don't know why. I would venture to say that there's almost an institutional lack of confidence in our unique abilities. And that is perhaps a very vital point for us in the future.
Yeah, I'm sorry we've run out of time there. And for those who wanted to ask questions, I'm really, really sorry. Maybe there'll be an opportunity to nab somebody when we have drinks in a bit. But thank you to everyone for the questions and for the contributions from the panel. Thank you very much indeed. And over to Oriel.
Always bring the mic down to my level. Thanks very much indeed. Well, that was good, wasn't it? I always find these debates a real pleasure, and particularly when I don't have to do the hard work. So thank you, Ewan, Francis, Beth and Amy and Theo. And thank you to everybody here in the room. I've got a few points I wanted to pick up, partly because never miss an opportunity to speak if you can. Our role as the IWA is precisely for providing a platform for independent comment and debate on issues that really matter to Wales. And we thought, and picking up on Dan's question earlier on, why this? It's a really good place where issues around education, hot topic, obviously, and particularly this week with the launch of the new curriculum, also issues around money and funding, issues around what different parts of Wales need and why, and issues around choice and how Wales is perceived. It's a place where all of this can come together. There are a few things I wanted to also to mention. You'll be pleased to know to the two women in the middle who came, thank you very much indeed for coming. Our next set of recruitment, we're not asking for people to put their names on their applications. We're asking people to put their initials on their applications only. So we're really conscious of things around unconscious bias. We also, when we looked around for trustees, new trustees last year, we particularly asked for BAME trustees. We didn't have any applications, so we're not reaching the right people. So if there are things that we can be doing better to reach people, come and have a chat. I'll be around. I'll come and find you and have a chat. We're happy to take both, actually. We've had somebody co-opted onto our Finance and General Purposes Committee as a result of the two experiences we've got in mentoring at the moment. So we've working with WEN Wales, part of their mentoring scheme, and also with EAST as well, the Ethnic Youth Support Team mentoring scheme too. So let's have a chat. So really up for that. There was a point over there from the lady from who had been to Exeter, but we tend to think Wales is different, yes, but so are other parts of the UK too. So I think that was a really interesting point that came out as well. And there was an issue that I think you highlighted around the disconnect between university students and future situations. So that's something that is firmly on our mind. I'm really pleased that this evening we've had a young professional member of the IWA, growing numbers. IWA is not all middle-aged and white and over 40. I am. And we've also had one of our corporate members, charity members as Planet, taking part in these debates. So if you want to be a part of these debates in future, do please let us know. I wanted to thank in particular our colleagues and friends at Cardiff University for helping us and supporting us and partnering with us on these debates. We always have really interesting brainstorming sessions where we think, oh, what's the issue that's going to be live in sort of 4 or 5 months' time? And so far, actually, we've been fairly on the money. So if you've got suggestions for things that are next time around, I'm expecting things like the UK Shared Prosperity Fund to come up quite heavily in our October event, for instance, as well as devolution and what happens next. But I also want to thank not only Claire and Ed, obviously, and Eleanor for lots of tweeting this evening, but Laura and the rest of the IWA team for putting on this evening's event. So thank you very much indeed for coming. There are drinks and snacks and things outside. Do stick around if you'd like to and continue the conversation. Thank you.